Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise. Amen. Ooh-wee, another blessing. Ooh-wee, another blessing. Let's just give God all the praise. All the praise. This is Thursday, Thirst for Truth, and I am your host, Elder QT Docs, coming to you under the auspices and direction Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Under the direction of International Kingdom Daughter International Institute. And your director is Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Docs. Amen, amen. God is just so good. Day is just a glorious day. And I guess I'm on my own today. I'm growing up here in the word of prayer and kingdom builders. Our pastor and prophetess, Teresa Dock, said, hey, she said, Elder, you're going to be on your own today. You're going to handle it today. So I'm going to handle it today a little bit. My title today is going to be, oh, it's an awesome title. My title is Loving Two Ain't Easy to Do. You know, and that is so true. Loving Two Ain't Easy to Do. That's my title. You know, our God is just an awesome God. And we're going to start off with a word of prayer here. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, our faithful Father, we begin today by giving you thanks. Your love endures forever. It never fails. Though there are many ways in which we have failed, dear God, we have not exceeded the supply of your mercy and grace. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your words. As we open the Bible today, as this message come forth today, we pray that we would hear your voice. We pray, dear Lord, that we will receive and allow these words to meditate and marinate within our hearts. We ask that your Holy Spirit will be at work, opening our ears, our eyes of understanding to hear, and our hearts to receive your word. May we be transformed, dear Father, into your likeness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Loving too ain't easy to do. Coming from Luke 16 and 13. Amen. Luke 16 and 13. I hope you have your Bibles out, because we're going to be touching on a few scriptures. Amen. You know, I was reading this little summary here. It talks about a man feared grief and angry because of the loss that he sustained. He says that these are his emotions that he's expected to feel, because he was going to prison for something he did wrong and things that he was into. And the sentence was handed down. And this gentleman name is Marcus. And he said that he felt relief when he went to prison. He said that for years, as he struggled with drugs and gambling addiction, Marcus said that he felt helpless and powerless to overcome his insatiable craving for the drugs. He said he resorted to committing crimes in order to feed his habit. He said, looking back, at first, he thought he could handle it. But addiction is a relentless master. Loving two ain't easy to do. You're going to have to serve one and hate the other. He said he never was satisfied with the sacrifice of relationship, dignity, or even life on its altar. Marcus stated that when he entered prison, all that ended. No longer was he willing or able to feed his addiction from within his prison cell. The process of healing finally began within his life. Marcus said that when he met the prison chaplain, he was hesitant to engage with them at first, but their warmth and kindness drew him. They treated him with dignity and recognized his humanity, a rarity within the confines of prison, he said. Soon he felt comfortable and opening up about his events, his past experience with addiction. Marcus said that he spent years serving a master that could never be satisfied. But in prison, he was introduced to the servant King, who had sacrificed his own life so that Marcus could be born again into a new life. Amen. So Marcus gave his life to Jesus, warts and all. And all in the process, an incredible weight was lifted off his shoulder. The burden of his addiction nailed to the cross. It wasn't always easy, Marcus said, in prison. You were surrounded by drug dealers who wanted you to serve their master. A reform addict is bad for business. But the words of Matthew 6 and 24 rang true for Marcus. No one can serve two masters. Loving two ain't easy to do. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. No longer willing or able to feed his addiction from within his prison cell, the process of healing finally began. Amen. Marcus was supported and strengthened by the chaplain, attending the weekly chapel service, and even leading a Bible study with other prisoners who encountered Jesus while inside. The day he entered prison, Marcus had lost everything, money, friends, and his home, but he gained so much more over the years. He spent serving his sentence, including some things that can never be taken from him. Amen. And these things he mentioned was faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You know, Brother Dave talked about love on Tuesday of this week. And he talked about love. He's stressing love and what love, how important love is to God, how important love is in your relationship, how God is love, and it's just, he touched on it so detailed. It makes you wonder why, if the people in the world has that love, you know, this world would be a more humble place. Amen. And he always stresses love on his Tuesday radio broadcast. He stresses that. And it makes a lot of sense, because we know without love, which is so great within ourselves, how can we encounter or approach others if we don't have love? And how can we tell someone or do something for someone if we lack that love? And it's just not, but we know that the greatest, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. That's in 1 Corinthians 13:13. But today, Mark has served his sentence, and he has been welcomed into a local church community. He has a part-time job and plan to study theology. Amen. And Marcus today think that if it wasn't for the chaplain taking time out to show him that love, to show him where God, that master, is so important within his life, that he said he wouldn't be where he is at today. We all need to be shown the way, the truth, and the life for real transformation, to show on that love that is so needed within our life, our family, our community, no matter what is thrown at us. It is always comforted by the faith, hope, and love that comes with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke 16:13. The title once again is Loving Too Ain't Easy to Do. You know, it's coming down to what we think is most important. To whom do you want to be loyal to? To God or yourself and your desire? As Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. Amen. No servant can serve two masters. Amen. That's in Luke 16:13. Now, how many of us ever tried to work two jobs? Now, we know that in working two jobs, we try to make ends meet, or some of us working three jobs. But, you know, somewhere down the line, there's going to be a conflict. It's going to be a conflict somewhere down the line. You know, it's going to start affecting your health, your family. It's going to start affecting something. You know, it's as we start working two jobs, or, you know, because I recall myself when I was young working two jobs and then, you know, trying to juggle things around, and it became a conflict. You either have to let one go and work more hours with one job. Because if I did it's going to, you know, I'm going to run myself into the ground. I'm going to be late on the other job. I'm going to be too tired, too sleepy. Driving home, I'll probably, you know, get into an accident because I'm doing too much at, you know, in so little of a time, which is, it's not conducive to my health. So, you know, that's like when you're serving two masters, you know, you're either going to serve God or you're going to serve someone else. Like, instead, someone else or something could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be money, it could be a workaholic. It could be people. You know, you're trying to patronize and satisfy an individual. We're talking about loving two ain't easy to do. You can't serve two masters. Amen. Amen. Because each night and day is going to get harder and harder. Now, our gospel reading has taken us to a similar situation. Now, we see a man who is really divided between two masters. We are never told how or what this man actually did as far as wasting the master possession. However, we can make a couple of assumptions. For one, Jesus makes the statement of the end of the reading. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. The first assumption is that it had to do something with the master's wealth. Maybe the servant made some bad investment or trade on behalf of the master. The other idea was he could have imagined he had embezzled the money to cover a gambling debt. You know, that idea I would have doubt, since he is never accused of stealing. He is accused of wasting away the possession of his master. Well, whatever happened, the man was chastised for his doing. This man put his own needs and action above the work he was doing for his master. He had even let his work become lax, causing his master business to falter. Now, we find that in everyday life. When we find ourselves either going out every night and you can't get up for work and you're being fruitful with your money and you're doing things you're not supposed to. We either out on drugs and when we're not functioning properly, we see our home life, our family life is going south, or we see our marriages is going south, and we see our relationship with our children is going south, and we're serving this drug, we're making this drug our priority, and we're forgetting about church, we're forgetting about prayer, we're forgetting about who we need to serve. Amen. Loving too just ain't easy to do. You know, we see the players. We call, hey player over there, here he is trying to play with, trying to date and two or three ladies, and here he is, has a wife at home, or he has a steady significant other, but yet he's trying to serve more than what he's supposed to. He has somebody at home, but yet he's trying to serve two or three on the outside. You know, loving too ain't easy to do. You know, and we find ourselves when we get involved into that situation, then we forget about God. We forget about what Jesus has brought us through. We forget about He's the master, and He alone is who we should serve. He alone, because our God is a jealous God. But this is not something that happened only in the past. It is still happening each and every day. Even in today's world, it happened with our work. Like I stated, with our marriage, our family, as well as our relationship with God. You know, many of us find ourselves stretched, serving more than one master. Some of us is not even aware of it, but we find ourselves stretching. That seemed to be the norm in our nation rather than the exception. We often find ourselves juggling much more than we can handle at one time. It's not only us as an adult who is doing this, but our children end up doing the same thing by watching us. How many of our kids do you know, or how many children or families do you know, spend the most part of their vacation running from, and summers running from ball games to ball games, you know, baseball, soccer, you know, doing all kinds of activity, going to clubs and dances. This is not only has an effect on their schoolwork or on our job or on our family relationship, but more of it has an effect on our home and spiritual lives as well. You know, I remember that, you know, one of my sons used to coach AA games and how they play on holidays and Easter's and carrying on. And you play these tournaments and they get involved, and a lot of these children do not attend church because they're traveling, playing games. And there was a story about, you know, this, a young man that he was on the AAU team, and, you know, and church doesn't legislate. We, you know, as a church, we don't legislate our Sundays, who should come and who should not, who should attend and who should stay away. You know, our worship is dedicated to God, and we are obedient to what we should be doing. And it's not the children's fault. It's the parents. If the parents allow this, there's nothing that the church can say about it except we can speak about it, and that's it. But it was one young man that stood up for his responsibility. He was raised in a church, and he decided that there was a big tournament coming up. It was during the Easter time, and he was on the team. He was one of the star players. Well, the tournament was being held in Oklahoma, and he was living in Iowa somewhere, or St. Louis, Missouri. Well, the young man decided to he'd rather go to church on Easter morning or Resurrection morning rather than attend the tournament. His coach and his teammates was mocking him, telling him, "You're making a big mistake. This is your chance to shine. This is your chance to show what you can do, to showboat, because the scouts from colleges are going to be there. And it behooves you to be present. It's a very important step in your career," they told him. In the end, it comes down to what you think that is most important. To whom do you owe your loyalty to? To God or yourself and your desire. As Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters. The young man stuck by his decision, for he felt God was much more important in his life. He knew God would be there for him long after the AAU had been dissolved. He knew that honoring God, the one who gave him the ability to play, was far more important than any tournament he ever played. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Another aspect I noticed about, this parable, Jesus' word was about being trustworthy in small things as well as big. This made me wonder if this manager was not very good with paperwork and basic day-to-day management of things. Well, it seemed to concern him that the big things were more important than the little. His manager, they thought the tournaments is more important than church. Same way with the man that was serving his master. He lacked his responsibility. He shirked his duty of running a business for his master. And the reason I believe is what he does after the master demoted him, changed his whole perception, his whole concept of what he should have been doing, his responsibility. He realized that he should first serve his master, comfort his master, make his master happy, make money for his master. He realized his manual labor was in vain. He called on those people that owed his master debt and decided to do his work by collecting. He went right to work on behalf of his master, and he worked out his debtors to pay back what they owe his master. You see, what I'm trying to realize is, his livelihood was in danger. He realized that he wasn't doing all he could have for his master. He went into crisis mode and did the work he had let go for so long. He did the work so he could get back in the good grace of his master. And that's what we have to do. Some of us get so involved in the other things that we don't know how to get back in the good grace with our master, because we get so caught up. We get into that reprobated mindset where we say, okay, this is good enough. I'm happy. This drug is making me feel good. I can still use the drugs and go to work. I can still drink alcohol and go. I can still commit crime and go to work. I can still, commit adultery and go to work. I can still, have desire for other things and still forget about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you start serving and making other things and items and your master, putting that before God, you can't love too, because it's not easy to do. You're going to have to love one and hate the other. And we see so many of us start loving the other and now we're disowning and denouncing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we wait till something happened within our life. We see many people who behave in a different way when tragedy or a family crisis hit. You know, then they start doing other things. Then they start coming back and asking the Lord to please forgive me, you know, have mercy on me. Your grace and mercy is what I'm seeking now. Maybe they go to church and when there isn't something else to do, or for the most part, they might live their lives completely separated from the congregation and most importantly from God. They most likely do not pray, rarely if they open the Bible. And lastly, that they may or may not even believe that God exists until tragedy happens. I mean, who really has God touch in our lives? Who do we run to when we fall short? Who do we do? Some of us might say, I did my prayer, man. I'm just going to go back things got so bad. I went back to drug. I just took a hit. I just took a snort. I went back to alcohol. I started doing this because it got so bad. I felt this is the only thing that could calm me down. And I didn't know which way to turn. I did pray, but yet, and that's why I went back to doing what I was doing. And he or she found this more suitable, more comfortable than laying prostrate before the Lord and asking the Lord to take over my, you know, our lives, to take over and allow me to surrender all to you. Amen. We're talking about serving two masters. Loving two ain't easy to do. We get in trouble every time we try to love two. Because you're either going to satisfy one and hate the other. Because you're going to neglect something. Amen. You know, the tragic death in a family is a serious illness. Or even a national disaster, and it is then that some of us suddenly feel a need to reach out and find God, just like the manager that was working for the master, in order to regain his grace and mercy and his stature with his master, he got off his can, got off his butt, and decided to do right, to work, to earn his responsibility to remember that he has a job to do. Suddenly we will seek out and God to get that reassurance that we need. We need him more than we need what we thought was gratifying, what we thought was satisfying, what we thought was that desire that will take us over across the River Jordan. We found out, no, that's not so. There was an individual by the name of George Barnard Group. He reported that, he said, in the immediate aftermath of the attack, half of all Americans said their faith helped them cope with the shock and uncertainty. We're talking about the attack of 9/11. The change most widely reported was a significant spike in church attendance, with some churches experiencing more than double the normal crowd on the Sunday after this shocking event. However, by the time January rolled around, churchgoers were going back to their pre-attack level, but to what they were doing before, because they felt it's all hunky dory. Everything is mellow out. Now we're on one level playing field. They forget about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They forget about how God has brought us through. Amen. They forget about this. Our God is an awesome God. In Exodus 20:3-6, it says, 3-6, it says, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. We're talking about, in the end, it comes down to what you think is most important. To whom do you owe your loyalty to? To God? Or yourself? And your desire? As Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. I know we all have relatives or experienced, you know, our family members or friends that we see where they get hooked on something. You know, be it drugs, alcohol, crime, depression, whatever it may be. And we find out, you know, no matter what we do, we find that they seem to idolize the other than idolize God or put God first in their life. They think that those things that they believe is more satisfying than satisfying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They believe at that moment that they are indulging into whatever means they desired that they consider their master, that they answer to, is more important than answering to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see that following these disasters, people felt that they were in imminent danger. You know, and that's the way drug addicts feel. Sometimes they will, on the verge of ODing, and when they come out of it, they realize, you know, it was by the grace of God that brought them out. Sometimes when they become alcoholics and they're driving their vehicles and they get into an accident and they survive, they know it was by the grace of God that brought them out, and they know that by them serving the alcohol, serving that drugs, and whatever they're serving that was more important to them than God, when tragedy hits, they realize, you know, this is the time. God has given me another chance. They needed to get right with God. But once the danger has passed, some went back to their regular routine. Amen. And back to their regular routine. Our God is an awesome God. You know, he will take his hands off of you if we continue to do what we're doing. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. I'm going to take a pause for the calls here. And our God is just so good. It's just, you know, it's just loving too. Just ain't easy to do. You know, Our God is just an awesome God. You know, I continue to look back at knowing that God has pulled so many people out of the mighty clay, put them in front. Our God is just so good. See, our God is a loving God. We can't continue to play games. We can't be street savvy and playing with God. Our God is a jealous God. So when you put others, things, and items, and material things before Him, He's not satisfied. He will take all that from you to let you see that who are you going to serve? Amen. Who are you going to serve? And we do not know if the master forgave him or showed his servant the praise for bringing honor back to him. But we do know that we know that this is the same God, the same with God. We know that from time to time, we forget who our real master is. Sometimes we need a reminder of whom we are subject to. And God will slap us in the face. He will chastise us now when we forget who our master is, who we're supposed to serve. You see, there is much more in that parable than a warning about trying to do much at one time. There is redemption for the manager. We're talking about redemption. He has been given another chance to serve the master. He has found his purpose, his ministry again. That's what God wants us to do. He's given us chances. He's given us more chances than we can ever imagine to find out, to find ourselves, to find our identity, to find our way, to find our calling, to find our ministry in life, to find our purpose in life. Amen. Our God is merciful. And that is how it is, you know, with us. Just when we find ourselves trying to do much at one time, when we are trying to cover all the bases and allowing ourselves to be spread too thin, whether it is by school, work, hobbies, or activities, remember, when the Lord becomes a focus of our lives, when we put our faith and trust in the direction He lead us, all those other issues seem meaningless. In the end, it comes down to what you think is most important to whom you owe your loyalty to God or yourself or your desire. As Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other. We're talking about trying to love two ain't easy to do. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. You know, it's one passage in the Bible, you know, that I love, that Joshua 24:15 says, you know, it's just like, you know, when you run in your household, you tell your children, you know, this is my house, and I pay the bills here, and you come in at a certain time, or you do your chores, or, you know, when you think you're growing and you're ready to pay your own bills, and then you get out on your own. But Joshua said it best. He says in 24:15, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That says it all. You're running your household. And God wants you to serve Him. Because when you serve Him, everything else is secondary. And everything else that you thought or you believe is important to you will fall in place. God will take care of it. Amen. You know, it's my hope that I believe that if we choose to put aside all other masters, I'm talking about, we know who they are, that might be to you, it might be drugs to you, it might be money to you, it might be alcohol to you, it might be people to you, it might be women, it might be men, it might be your job, it might be whatever, and focus on serving the only master that matters, which is our Lord, our God. He is just so, He's an awesome God. Amen. Now, if we just be obedient to the word of God, we continue to proclaim His name, if we just put away those idol things, those things that we think is so important to us, and put God first, God will allow all those other things that you thought was important to fall in place. Our God is a merciful God. He's an understanding God. He's a wise God. Our God is there, and He's never going anywhere. Amen. So when we try to love more than what we should, and we don't put God first, we try to love God, then love than love alcohol. We're trying to love God, and then we're trying to love drugs. We're trying to love God, and we're trying to love crime. We're trying to love God, and we're trying to love money. We're trying to love God, and whatever we're trying to do is not working. It's not working. You serve one, the one and only, the one that put breath into our lungs, the one that made us heroes, the one that made us, the one that made us in his image, and we became his likeness. And if we focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you put him first, everything else will fall in place. You know, your family, your sons and daughters, your husband or wives, your job, your neighbors, everything will fall in place. When you're trying to do too much, when you're trying to spread yourself thin, you're going to break. You're going to break. You can't love two masters. You're going to have to either love one and hate the other. And who are your master? Who is your master? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. It says that our Father, I'm just sort of taken back by this, because I do see so many of us idolizing things that we feel that is important and neglecting the most important thing. The most important person in our life is God. We focus on him and make him our Lord and Savior. Make him first. And forget about all those other things in the community. It's not going to work for you, my brothers and sisters. It's not going to work. Amen. So I'm just asking you this. I hope you receive this message today. And I hope you take it and try to share it with someone and tell them that, you know, put God first in your life and everything else will follow behind, because God will make it work for you. And I hope you if you will just find yourself a good Bible-based church, and if you just can listen to on TV or on the internet, or someone that can direct you, and you can ask someone for help and tell them, look, I want to surrender all to you, and I want to surrender all to you, God. It's my time. I know it's my time. I have a purpose, and I want to give it all to you. So if you, my brothers and sisters, if you confess, that's all you have to do, is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou should be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You will be saved. You are born again. Amen. I just want to say that if you like what you heard, which I hope it will, you received and carried this with you throughout the week, you can go to Giveify. Just because we all have a purpose in here, and we are serving the communities in our city, and we're trying to help others. If you can go to Giveify.com, that's Giveify.com, or you can download the app and make a donation of any kind to help the cause that we're trying to do, or go to PayPal with Kingdom Builders International at Gmail. Amen. I mean, it costs to continue to further our work in this community that we're doing, and we helping spreading this throughout the air, through different parts of the states and out of the country to help someone, to draw someone to the kingdom of God. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. I want to thank you once again. And let us pray. Oh, Father God, help us keep your word in our hearts that we may not sin against you. Through Jesus' name we pray that we thank you, Father, for giving us a good health and enabling us to come to this place to glorify your name. Thank you for your word, for it always comfort our hearts. Well, Heavenly Father, we leave this place. Guide us so that we can reach our destination safely. Bless everyone that's in earshot of my voice, dear Lord. Help us to submit and rely on you alone, and not on our own might, but on yours. Direct our path and give us the confidence to follow your direction, to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Help us to obey everything that you have taught us through your servant. May we thrive in all areas this week and be firmly rooted in your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You have been a gracious audience. I love you with the love of Christ. And may God bless you. May his countenance continue to shine upon you. And I pray that you have a marvelous, miraculous, majestic week. And I'll see you next Thursday. You can also join us at 6 for Brother Dave. It's FM and AM. It stands for Four Men About Men. He's a great man of God. He comes on Tuesday, but on Thursday, every other Thursday, he has a broadcast for men about men. Amen. He's a soldier of God. He's coming up next. Amen. Have a blessed evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Something I want to say right here. I want two wings to veil my head.